Vonnegut earned his MBA from Harvard Business School and spent over 2 years at a money management firm in New York City. He also worked for Morgan Stanley, Payne Webber, and Kidder Peabody. Norb's second novel, The Gods of Greenwich, centers on the collapse of a hedge fund in Connecticut and a villain in the mold of Bernie Madoff and Gordon Gekko. The Gods of Greenwich audiobook is narrated by Robert Fass, an Audie Award nominee. And both author and narrator join me now. Welcome, gentlemen.
Alan, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Alan. It's a pleasure.
Now, Norb, this is your second financial thriller, top producer being the first. What was the inspiration for these books?
Well, I think that what you need to do is, if you're writing a novel, is to start with a big idea. And in The Gods of Greenwich, my big idea is really a question, and it centers on what will somebody do to keep up with the Joneses if that somebody runs a hedge fund and all he really wants in life is to join the Greenwich Glitterati. What would you do to keep up with the Joneses? And when I think about hedge funds, I think that it's a really high bar. A couple of weeks ago, for example, we learned that 25 guys made $22 billion in W-2 income last year. That's double what GE produced in annual earnings for 2010. You know, that's extraordinary. That's a company with 300,000 people. And so when I look at the hedge fund industry and what it means to keep up with the Joneses, it's just really fertile territory for fiction, thrillers in particular. My focus in The Gods of Greenwich, however, is not on the mechanics of investing or the stocks and bonds or any of that stuff. Inside the pages, you'll see that I focus on people and the trappings of wealth. For example, there's a reference in The Gods of Greenwich to there are plenty of references, I should say, to how people spend their money. You know, the 25,000 square foot houses that have as many as 27 toilets. I mean, come on, what kind of place is this? So that's background to a story that's really a mystery, a thriller, and there's a lot of murdering going on inside the pages. So does that answer your question, Alan?
Oh, very much so. And Robert, as the narrator of the audiobook, what was it like reading through and narrating The Gods of Greenwich?
It was juicy fun. I had just come off of a 115-hour project reading four volumes of the Oxford History of the United States, so I was quite ready for some excitement in a more contemporary vein. So it was really wonderful to have this come along and be offered the opportunity to read it. It was a great roller coaster. It's a narrator's kind of dream to have such juicy characters and such a variety of characters. And I think the fun challenge of it was to be able to balance those things. I mean, as Norb said, it's not nuts and bolts trading stuff. You know, where it needs to be explained to the layman, it's done very skillfully through the characters, but it really is much more about the dynamics between these people. And there really are some beautifully drawn folks to care about. And my job is to get the audience and the listening audience to care about Jimmy and his wife and Bianca and some of the other more sympathetic folks, and also get into these really wonderfully fun heavies. Of which there are a few. So I just love that. I had also recently done a nonfiction expose of sort of some of the shady world of traders, and I think that primed me a little bit for a little, you know, some of how these characters operate and how they think. I also luckily had been in Iceland last year for a brief visit, because a portion of this novel takes place in Iceland with a few Icelandic characters. So I had some mental pictures to draw from and some voices that I had heard to draw from as well.
You know, Robert, that's interesting because I've heard just a short clip of what you've narrated, and there's a character in the book by the name of Siggy. He's from Iceland. He speaks English, and you absolutely nailed the dialect, the accent.
Oh, lovely!
Just nailed it. I've been to Reykjavik, and I know you've been to Reykjavik too. And I was just really impressed how you got the accent right. And I'm wondering what you did to do it so well.
Well, we narrators pull on a number of sources. When I was in Reykjavik and the surrounding areas, I try to always bring my trusty little digital voice recorder with me. And our tour guide on the bus when we did the Golden Circle tour was chatting away, so I just recorded her for several minutes. I also, because there's some vocabulary in the book, including some profanity, which I needed to get some pronunciation from, I called Iceland Air and spoke with a representative there. I like to imagine that he was standing in front of a line of irate customers as he was telling me how to say these awful things. I found a podcast with a professor who was involved heavily in Iceland that has spent a lot of time there over the 30 years or so, and he really was into sharing as much as he could about the pronunciation of the dialect and certain words. So Hafnarbanki, for instance, they say is Hafnarbanki. You know, so when the Icelandic characters say it, that's how they say it. When the American characters say it, they say Hafnarbanki. So I try to bring in that level of truth to the way each of these folks approach.
Well, I must say that I'm really impressed by the diligence that you put into it. The name Hafnarbanki actually is that's a story unto itself.
Doesn't exist.
Originally, when I wrote The Gods of Greenwich, I called Hafnarbanki something like Hafnarfjordurbanki because the Icelandic names go on forever.
Yeah.
And I found that I kept misspelling it in my craft every time I wrote it, and it was impossible for me to say. So I shortened the name of Hafnarfjordurbanki, or whatever it is. There's a city just south of Reykjavik by that name. That's where I got the name. I shortened the name to Hafnarbanki because it, frankly, it was easier for me to say as an American. So I'm just very impressed that you put so much time and effort into the pronunciation, the Icelandic way.
I think it pales in comparison to the time and effort you put in. So whatever I can do, I'm happy to. There was a very interesting challenge for me as a narrator with this book, I'll try and address it without tipping anything. But there are two mysterious characters in the book, and on the page they can remain mysterious until Norb chooses to reveal them, which he does very skillfully and plants some seeds and some red herrings along the way. But to voice them would probably identify them right from the get-go, which would be a giveaway that we wanted to avoid at all costs. And so that was a real issue of how to handle that. And we basically settled on the notion of a flat reading in my own narrator's voice. These are always telephone conversations. And so I hope that comes through, and there really wasn't another way that we could determine to make it, to convey that without tipping it prematurely. So I hope that
it's a really interesting problem, and the way you just described the problem is perfect. The only thing I can say to our listeners out there is listen to the audio, and at the end of the book you'll get it.